you haven't noticed yet, it's spring, which means we know it's Easter season. We're marching quickly towards the celebration of our Lord and Savior's death, burial, resurrection, ascension. Alyssa, you can start that if you want, the background thing, first slide. Oh, you'll have to mute that there, Jacob. Sorry, we're having some technical difficulties with some of our videos today, so bear with us as we go. We've been going through this story, and we're in the middle of Jesus' story. And the reality is, we can't spend enough time on that. We've taken a few weeks. Denise did a great job last week just talking about Jesus as not an ordinary man. And we've looked at some of the Gospels and a little bit at how each author has desired to present Jesus. Sometimes that we would understand his humanity. Sometimes we'd understand his divinity. And as we are on Palm Sunday, I want to encourage you that throughout this week, if you haven't yet read through the Easter story this year, pick a gospel. You can pick a gospel. John's a great one. Find where Jesus starts heading into Jerusalem or just before that on a donkey. You can search it in Bible Gateway. You can look it up in your Bible. Find it. Read it. You know what? Most Christians don't. They don't read the Easter story through for themselves. They don't prepare their hearts for Easter. And Easter just becomes a holiday Friday, if you work for the government or schools, a holiday Monday, and we kind of have the service, and we know there's something special about it, but we sometimes don't take the time to do that. And as great as all the things are this weekend, I'm really excited for Good Friday and to celebrate communion together. And we'll be doing that a little bit different than we normally do because it's Good Friday. And Saturday, to be able to be hands and feet of Jesus in our community, and hopefully work together with some of them. And we've had an amazing God stuff for that even to happen. I was contacted this week by a community center director from City of Kitchener. He just heard our name, our church name, because of some of the stuff that we're doing, some of the opportunities. And he wanted to meet me and find out how we can partner and what we're doing in our community. And it's great. These are all things that God is just giving opportunities. And I'm very excited for Easter Sunday. It's great. It's the highlight of our year. It's more important than Christmas. But more than all that stuff, if it doesn't personally affect you, if you're not actually engaging, then your heart's a little bit closed off to what God wants to do. Because God wants to speak to you personally, intimately, and show you some things maybe you haven't seen before. Easter should rock us. Amen. Easter is the thing that solidifies us. And Easter Sunday, I want to encourage you, if you've got some friends or neighbors or family, you've been already engaging with them about Jesus a little bit, it's a great Sunday to bring them. It's just going to be straight gospel presentation, looking at the resurrection and why is that important. But today we look at the journey to Jerusalem. And I want to ask you a simple question. Simple question. What would you do if Jesus walked through the door this morning? I read a devotional earlier this week that asked that question. I had to think about that. What would you do if Jesus physically walked through the door this morning? Now, in June 2002, Queen Elizabeth II celebrated 50 years as Great Britain's monarch. The nation threw a huge party, and the Golden Jubilee Festival was a parade of sorts. And there were 20,000 performers who participated in this parade. All sorts of crazy things and just the biggest parade you'd ever seen. All to celebrate their queen. And I thought, you know, that's probably about the best we'd get historically to this time of how you celebrate a queen or a king. And if they went to all the trouble to do that, how would we respond? How would we respond to Jesus walking through the door physically this morning? And maybe you don't know too much about Jesus, or maybe you need a little bit of a reminder of who he is. And so I just want you to watch this, listen to the words to this song. It's a lot of deep theology in this, and bear with it if it doesn't work. That is a band out of Seattle from Mars Hill Church. Some of you will be familiar with them. Mark Driscoll's the pastor there. Man, when I heard this band and heard the song about a month ago, I've not stopped listening to that song. I play it in my office. I sing it really loud in the car. Because the name, it's not just simply who he was and what he did. Even his name, there's power. Darkness flees. Something is different about this person, fully God, fully man, Jesus. And how would we respond? How would you respond if Jesus walked in here physically today? Would you run to him? Would you watch and see what others did first? Would you be a little reserved? Would you, we're Canadian, right? So some of us are okay doing stuff, and others, we're kind of polite. Would you give him a place of honor? You know he's the king. You've heard of him healing others. Maybe you've spoken intimately with him. Maybe you just heard some of the things that he can do in someone's life. But what would you do? Would you sing to him? Would you invite him up here and we'd all just stop looking at the screen and look to him when we sing, when we speak? What about later this day? He leaves and goes somewhere else. What if the news reported later today that he'd been arrested? And he was up on charges of rape, murder, and indecency to a body. And you're thinking, that doesn't sit well with me. And later in the week, as you're following the trial, you see people stand up and give testimony about these things, some witnesses. And you're thinking, I don't think that's right. And he's eventually tried and found guilty. And under some law that no one knew existed in Canada, he's executed that same day. What would your attitude be towards him? Would you still worship? Would you hide? Would you look back on his time here with us this morning and you'd be thankful, but it wouldn't really do much for you? Now, that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem a little over 2,000 years ago. Now, Jesus didn't enter a church. Eventually, he went to the temple. But he entered the city of Jerusalem at the beginning of the most important religious festival for the Jewish people, the Passover. Everyone flocked to Jerusalem. In fact, when we read about Bethlehem and the shepherds on the hillside, there's a lot in the Christmas story and Easter that coincide. All those sheep, they would have been raised mainly for this celebration because everyone needed a lamb. You needed sheep for this meal. And they celebrated their freedom. We'll talk a lot about this on Good Friday, what it means, why Passover, what did Jesus do with the bread and the wine, and what did that mean? But Jesus is getting to that point, and he enters into Jerusalem, and it's buzzing with activity, the same way Bethlehem would have been buzzing with activity when he was born. Now, eventually, he was arrested. There were witnesses that were brought forward, and as some of the disciples witnessed that, watching this, they're seeing these people come up and say things about Jesus who they've spent three and a half years with all the time, basically most of the time. And they're thinking, I don't remember everyone in every crowd, but I'm not sure I saw these people. And I know for sure I didn't see any of those things happen. And witness after witness came up, and the witnesses' testimonies went against each other. They didn't even make sense. And Jesus is flogged and whipped and beaten. And he's crucified, and he dies. How would you respond? In Luke 19, we see how people respond to Jesus before that all happens. Some had never seen him before. Some people had heard stories. Some in that crowd that day had been healed. Some had intimate conversations with Jesus. And I would imagine there are a few people there who just had recently heard a little bit about him. But everyone knew there was something significant about this person who was entering into the capital city of Israel. Jesus is set on heading to Jerusalem for some time. And he's told his disciples this. He said, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again after 3 days. They have no idea what he's talking about. Because if you had never heard those phrases before, if you weren't in this period of history, you'd have no idea. No one's ever done that before. What do you mean die? Jesus talked in metaphor sometimes. So is it, you know, like a grain, or is he talking kind of like the wind again? What's he talking about? They had no idea. No idea at all. But Jesus is set on going to Jerusalem. And his followers say, don't do that. Because already he'd been threatened. His life was threatened. The religious authorities tried to capture him several times. There's one time where they're ready and set to stone him. He slips out. I don't know if it's a supernatural thing, but Scripture says it wasn't his time yet. He couldn't be captured. He couldn't be captured. He went willingly. And so he makes his way to Jerusalem. His mind and his heart are set to go there. He knows why he's going. And along the way, there's a few really interesting things that happen once he starts making that trip. Now, he stops in a few places. He visits with Mary and Martha. He's in Bethany and Bethphage. And he sees a guy named Zacchaeus. He has lunch at this guy's house. He's a well-known tax collector who turns his life around. He performs several miracles. He heals a few blind men along the way. There's a number of great teachings on his road, but we recognize that this is it. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke 19. If not, you can follow on the screen. Luke 19, beginning at verse 28. Now, this particular account is recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so I encourage you to cross-reference those if you want. But Luke chapter 19, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which is one that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as they had been told. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? Wouldn't you ask that? Someone's untying your colt. And so you ask, why are you untying my colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. And he was fine with that. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on him, because there wasn't a saddle or anything, on the colt, and put Jesus on it. Already Jesus knew. He knew. He was so in touch with the Father through the power of the Spirit. He knew where he was going. He said, I need to fulfill prophecy. I'm going to go this way, and there'll be a colt. And he tells his disciples, everything starts to happen. You see, Jesus wasn't a victim here. He wasn't a victim. He went willingly. He went knowingly. He knew what would happen. We don't know if he knew specifically every word that was spoken, but he knew the details enough that he knew what steps needed to be taken so that he would sacrifice his life for us. As he went along, verse 36, people spread their cloaks on the road. So as he neared Jerusalem, crowds were gathering. I mean, people are traveling in and out of Jerusalem for the Passover, but they saw it was Jesus, and they put their cloaks on the road. They also put palm branches there too, other Gospels say. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. So this isn't just the 12, this is all the people there. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Sound familiar? Christmas story. There is some foreshadowing here if you're into English, but it's not a literary device. It's God's device. It's to remind us, this is the same Jesus. This is the same Father. I've not changed. My purpose from the beginning is the same, but it's getting near. The reason Jesus has come is getting near. Now, Matthew, Mark, and John tell us that the people shouted a single word that said all those things. What was the word? Hosanna. Does anyone know what Hosanna means? Just look in the footnote of your Bible. What does it mean? Save. Yeah, save now. Save us. Save now. Yeah. So they're shouting to Jesus. Okay, we sing Hosanna. That doesn't make sense. That's a great thing to sing. None of us speak that language. But it's like us seeing Jesus, and we passionately be saying, save us. Save us from the political system we're in. Save us from my life. Save me from my sin. Save me from myself with everything that's in you. And so the people shouted, Hosanna. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd, religious leaders who would eventually put Jesus to death, condemn him. They said to Jesus, they saw this and they said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Jesus prepared the way for us. He comes to us. He speaks to us and we respond. It's always a response. Wherever Jesus is, there's always a response. It's the stones or you. That's it. That's your choice. How would you respond? It's the stones or you. Anybody get up early enough this morning to see the sunrise? Anyone? Don't raise your hands. It's okay, because then you'll shame the rest of us, okay? I was able to do that and walked out, and the sun was rising, and the birds were chirping. That's what he meant. That's what he meant. Romans 1 talks about that. Look, all creation is singing and praising and worshiping and glorifying God with everything. Every storm, every rain, every bad weather day, every good weather day, we tend to think, it's sunshine and birds are singing, must be God. It's everything. It's everything. Stones. Who cares about stones? Why would Jesus mention stones? They're stones. Because even as inanimate objects that are good for not much except building a wall or putting around a campfire, you can do a bunch of stuff if you heat them up. But no one glorifies stones. And what would a stone possibly have to give to Jesus? And so this Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, riding on a donkey, humbly. He came humbly when he was born. He's going to his death humbly. People recognize him as a king. And he says, look, if these people don't cry out, if they're not moved by me and what I'm about to do and what I've done, look, the stones are already crying out. It's the stones or you. As we head to Easter, what will your response be? It's the stones or you. Creation's singing. Creation is glorifying. And are you going to join in with that? Praise only comes from a real and living faith. And only God can bring you to life. It's the stones or you. I'm not asking you to muster up some excitement, you know. Let's imagine if we were at, the Leafs game last night and they actually had a chance to make it in the playoffs. And they won, we'd all cheer. I'm not asking you to fake something in your heart that's not there. I'm asking you to engage with the Easter story and engage with Jesus. Meet with your Savior. And get your heart to that place where you're set to life. Where you know the stones aren't going to outdo you, right? It's the stones are you. So as you experience Jesus, as we head towards Easter, you have opportunity to prepare your hearts. To celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and how he has saved you. Those people didn't have the history behind it to know what Jesus would do. They still sang. They still shouted. They still took their best cloak and put it under a mule, right? They wrecked the palm trees all along the way and laid out the palm branches because he's a king. Let's give him his honor. Give him his due. Following Jesus isn't about good behavior. It's not about impressing God. It's all about a response based on what Jesus has already done for us. Christians aren't good people. The people standing along the roadway that were, Jesus wasn't calling them to be good moral people. Jesus was eliciting a response from hearts that have been moved and touched. And God who wants to set you alive through his Son. Jesus was riding to his death. Why? For your forgiveness. Jesus was riding to his resurrection. Why? For your life. For your life. I want to call the worship team up as we end this morning, just so they're ready to go. I want to do something a little bit different, and I really resist the urge. I actually do like to study Scripture and find out little nuggets deep within and share those with you. It's just something I like to do. But I resisted that this morning because I think the more important thing is how will we respond to Jesus. And so this morning I want to do something a little bit different in prayer. Some of us are like, I'm not okay praying out loud. Too bad. I want us to have a communal prayer time, all right? And what I want to do is just invite you out loud to say a phrase, if Jesus walked through that door, what would you say to him? What would you say to him? And when that time seems to be ended, the kids are coming up in a minute to take part in our closing song. If you have young ones, wait till the song is done and find them, and you can sign them out up here and then head down for the nursery. But I want to take time to respond this morning. I'll close that prayer time off by praying, and then we'll sing Hosanna. But I want to invite you to respond to Jesus. Guess what it's going to take? A little bit of courage together. If we're a church family, we need to learn to do some of these things together. I'm not asking you to muster something up. I'm not basing the success on this if, you know, 5 or 15 or 25. This is about you and Jesus. And I invite you just to speak out loud, one after another, after another. What would you say to Jesus if he physically walked in the door this morning? Let's pray. Convince Jesus that if you were to come here physically, and you've been here the whole time, we wouldn't know what to say. We wouldn't know what to do. Jesus, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. And as we head towards Easter, as a church family, we bless you and we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your death, to bless others, and to celebrate your resurrection, Jesus. I pray for that, for each and every one of us, that we would have an experience for you. Lord, I pray for those who aren't following you or who've wandered. Thank you that you love us. We're all the same to you. God, I pray that you would draw us back to yourself. That we, Jesus, not be so worried about what we do or say or how we behave, but that we come to you with hearts wide open. And Father, I pray for this week that we would continue to pray this way. Simple prayers throughout the day to say thank you. May you transform us through that. Make us a thankful people, a generous and kind people, all the more. We already are, but we need that more so. And may we have your name, your precious, your holy, your powerful name on our lips at all times. As we head towards Easter, we ask you to change us, Jesus. And we bow at your feet, and we bless you, and we praise you, and we thank you in your powerful name.
That we just got word that John's fever has broken. So hallelujah for that after about 4 days. So praise Jesus. Let's sing, Save Us. Would you stand with us? And yeah, praise the Lord.
Eyes are turning to you.